Now, the letter of the Hebrews, as we've been going through, is a very heavily theological letter with lots of kind of heavy theology, beautiful theology. But now today we're in chapter 12, and we're into what's called the moral section of the letter to the Hebrews. And it provides us with a different way to look at things than we normally do. In this particular case, the question of discipline, or we might use the word punishment. Now, in a way, what the text is encouraging us to do is to kind of grow up a little bit in our thinking. We tend, I say we now, when I say we, I'm not saying every single person in this chapel is guilty of this. I'm just simply saying that we human beings collectively tend to think this way. About punishments from God, that it's not fair, and God shouldn't do that, and God likes me, and He's supposed to love me, and not ever cause me any grief or any harm. You know, in other words, you can sort of see that that's a kind of a childlike thinking, and that's why I put that tone of voice. So, now again, the vision here is to try to encourage us to develop a little bit more of a mature and an adult thinking about punishment. So the text begins, "In your struggle against sin, you haven't yet resisted to the point of shedding blood." The only point that's being made here is that, you know, we tend not to be that serious about trying to overcome sin. Now, I'm not saying that, again, this is true of every one of us, but I'm just saying that we'll resist and we'll try to resist, but any time it causes us any real grief or pain, we just kind of give way, you know. To really, let's say we were going to really attend to the problem of gossip, you know. But as soon as some of our friends gets going and we start to feel like we want to be included, we go right along. So we don't really, we kind of theoretically say, "I want to be free of sin." But when it really comes to making any real effort, you know, we're not that tough at it, you know. Now, that's what the text is trying to say there. It's kind of an expression that might sound a little bit exotic, but what it's basically saying is what I just said. Now, therefore, the Lord sometimes needs to step in and punish us. Now, all of a sudden, here's where our childlike thinking can, "Oh, but that's not fair. God shouldn't punish me. I'm basically a nice person, and God's being mean." And, you know, this time. And so it says here, it simply quotes from, I believe here, the Book of Wisdom or Sirach, "My son, don't disdain the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges, namely punishes, every son that he acknowledges." Now, let's talk about punishment for a minute. You know, what is the purpose of punishment? You know, now, sadly, some parents will sometimes punish a child in such a way that really they're just kind of venting their own anger. "I'll get you. You really drove me crazy now." I mean, sadly, that's sometimes what happens. I mean, now, hopefully that's not the only reason, you know, that's parents disciplining a child. But we know that sometimes when we discipline, we're adding a little bit of our own anger and kind of getting something off our own chest sometimes. But please, let's understand that it's never the way this way with God. But even, let's try to look at punishment in a human parent toward a child in the ideal, without some of the emotional baggage that sometimes is attached. Why would a parent punish a child? Now, let me ask this question and now answer it. The real purpose of punishment is for a child to experience in a small way the seriousness of something so that they do not experience in a big way the consequences of bad behavior. Take an example. When I was a young child, I was told never to cross the street without someone to cross me, an older child or an adult who had better sensibility about traffic. Now, actually, I don't remember this personally, but I certainly remember with my younger brother, this was the rule. And once or twice, when he would cross the street without someone to help him, my parents would find out about it, and they would punish him rather strictly. They would say, "You will now spend an hour in your room," or, you know, "No dessert tonight," or something to that effect. Now, this caused him grief, caused him pain. He was upset. "It's not fair," you know, all the kind of stuff. But in the end, what my parents were trying to do is, we want you to experience in a small way the consequences of this bad behavior so that you don't experience in a very dramatic and terrible way the consequences. Yes, he could be killed, but he could also be very seriously injured and take months to recover. He could be hit in such a way that he'd become paralyzed. You know, there's all kinds of terrible, terrible things that could happen if you get hit by a car. And they don't want him to get the full brunt of the consequences of a bad choice, so they give him a small dose. Okay, you see, this is the purpose of punishment, so that we avoid the big consequence with a capital C. A loving parent who really loves the child, will give them a small dose of the consequence, you know, in order to avoid the big dose. You see the vision? All right. So, truly then, punishment is administered in love. And all of the childlike protests are, well, it's not fair, come on, please, don't do that, are sometimes, again, need to be seen, we need to look beyond these things and see that if you don't learn in a small way, you're going to learn in a big way. You know, if you don't learn to control yourself, you're going to learn in a big way. You're going to lose your job one day when you cop that attitude towards somebody. When you're late or lazy, you're not going to keep your job, or you're going to get fired. Or you act badly and don't control yourself, the police will have to deal with you. You'll be in jail. You'll pay fines. You know, big consequences. So let me teach you, as a young child, that when you get out of line or you're lazy or you don't do what you're told, you're going to get some punishments. See, now that's the vision of what punishment is about. Okay. Just a few other little things here that are said which are helpful to us to kind of, connect the dots here. So, God treats you as sons. All right. In other words, you're a child of God. And it says here, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time it is administered, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but in fact a cause for pain. Please! Okay, but in the end it says, it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness by those who are trained by it. Okay, now, I want to publicly thank my parents for punishing me, because I now enjoy the peaceful fruits of righteousness that came from it. I, when I was a child, I learned to curb my anger, or I learned to discipline myself, to show up on time, to work hard, to do what I am told. I have learned obedience to lawful authorities and so on. I, in other words, was trained and sometimes strongly trained by my parents. They were bad, especially if I got in line with my father. I want you to know something. This was not a good thing. But it was important to learn these things, and I am grateful to my... I did not like it at the time. I, like any child, protested. I resented my father and my mother. At times, I was angry with them, bitter. But in the end, the fruits have been good. And I considered myself to be a reasonably functional adult human being, and I thank my parents for that. See? So, again, these are some of the things. So, in other words, and finally the text simply says, so strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. All right, make straight your path, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed. In other words, shape up here a little bit and accept a little bit of punishment from God. God's not punishing you because he hates you. He's saying it because he loves you. Now, this lectionary eliminated one line from the text here today, and I think it's because it's a little bit of a tough sort of in-your-face kind of a text. They eliminated verses 8 and 9, where it says, if you're not experiencing punishments from God, you are not a son, you are a bastard. And the text says bastard. In other words, you are basically without a father. Now, we use this word, bastard, in our language as kind of a naughty word. Literally, bastard means a child who doesn't know his or her father. An illegitimate child or what have you. And I hate that expression. There's no illegitimate child. There are illegitimate parents. But in the end, but we tend to use this word bastard to sort of mean someone who's nasty, who's out of control, who's incorrigible, who's, you know, in other words, a bad, troublesome person. And why did they end up bad and troublesome? So the connection is probably because when they were young, they didn't have a parent who taught them to curb their behavior. You're not allowed to just vent your anger or just get your way every time you want it just because you want it. That's not how life is supposed to work. But there are some people who go through life with that attitude. And we call them, well, I won't repeat it now because I'm using it in a bad sense, but we have this word for them. And the text is basically saying, be careful. If you're really a child of God, you're going to experience discipline because He loves you, but look out. If you're not experiencing it, what implication does that make? That God, in a way, has just let you run wild. That's it. I can't deal with you anymore. And so on. So there are many texts in the scriptures that say that at a certain point in a sinner's life, God simply hands them over to their own behavior, to their own designs. Oh, if there ever comes a day when God is not willing to punish me, then I'm really in trouble. You see what I'm saying? See, because there are texts like Romans 1 and other places that says God handed them over. He just said, all right, go ahead now. Have it your way. You don't want to experience punishment from me and be trained by me. All right. Now you're going to have to learn the full consequences of bad behavior. You will lose your job. You will be hated by all. You will be, in the end, you know, this is what's going to happen. So again, please never get to that point in your life. And I don't think most of us who are here this morning are there, but you understand what I'm saying. So it's a troublesome text that God would hand someone over. But anyway, in the end, sometimes God has to say, you know, and parents will sometimes do that for children too. Look, you're going to use drugs, you're going to be crazy, you're going to become completely incorrigible. In a way now, I need to let you experience. Okay, now you need to talk to the police. I'm not going to come and bail you out this time. No, you're going to experience the full weight of your decisions, you see. No, I will not pay your $7,000 credit card bill. I've done that now for, you know, but I will not do it this time. At a certain point, a parent sometimes just has to hand an incorrigible kid over to the full weight and consequences of their actions. It's hard medicine. It's what we call tough love, huh? So, all right, well, I know I've gone on a long time with this, but you see what I'm saying. We have some work to do sometimes with our attitude. God's punishing me because He doesn't love me. No, because He loves you, God is punishing you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to experience the full weight of your decisions, so you'll experience twinges of conscience or little setbacks and things where you kind of experience, all right, God, let me know. I got to straighten up here. And say, thank you, Lord. At the time it's ministered, all discipline seems like, oh. But in the end, it brings forth the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Amen. All right, amen. Amen.